Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday morning to you, and welcome back. Welcome back to the garage here at Frat House Sports Radio Network. We are back again with you for another Sunday, the final Sunday of the regular season. And this is it, folks. This is it. We counted them down. We're down to the end of all of the chase races in NASCAR, the challenger round. We've come through the contender round, the eliminator round. Well, elimination, that's exactly what happened last week at Out West in Phoenix. On Sunday, the field of eligible drivers finally got whittled down to just four remaining viable for today's championship at Homestead Miami Speedway. We're going to get into who those drivers are and which four find themselves now out and amongst the large group of spoilers for this final event. This is it, the Super Bowl Sunday. We've heard about it from Brian France, from Mike Helton. We want that Super Bowl atmosphere. We want that playoff, that final game. Well, we're down to it. Now, additionally, with all three National Series events running in Florida this weekend, the title winners of both of NASCAR's lower-tiered Camping World Truck Series and Nationwide Series are now completed, and we're going to review who won the events, who won the championships, respectively. And we're hoping to show a little love to our friends who like that NHRA stuff, as the 2014 season also pretty much winds down, and that's out in Pomona, California at the Auto Club Raceway. That's the final weekend to the countdown of the championship. We want to highlight the winners of the three divisions, if we have time, in the Top Fuel, Funny Car, and Pro Stock divisions. Now, I believe I'm joined on the line by my resident crew chief. He's up on the pit box, Brandon. Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. Very good morning. Now, obviously, we're going to chat up, you know, the expectations, the speculations, the controversy, the compromise in the world of motorsports. Obviously, heavy dose of NASCAR prior to today's event. So for those of you out there listening, we want you to climb aboard. We want you to buckle up, but we don't want you to hesitate to reach out with your thoughts and opinions. If you're coming to us via the computer and you have Skype and your Skype ready on your PC, you can feel free to click on the Skype button. If that's not the case, but you are streaming live, pick up the phone, the old tried and true way, and give us a call, 347-826-9964. In addition, our chat room is open. So if you care to comment or question us that way, feel free to do it, and you can do that via the chat room, and we'll be sure to include you and your questions or comments in our program. We may or may not hear from our own frat house sidekick today. He, too, is a mad NASCAR fan, so we're going to be on the lookout for sidekick, obviously, Brandon. If you see him and I don't, you know, give a holler. If vice versa, we'll bring him aboard. And we do have a little flexibility today, folks, if you care to join us. Normally, 60 minutes, we've kind of opened the door a little bit. So if we run a bit over, that's okay. That's all right. We're hoping to include everybody who is interested in our conversation. Let me start it off this way, Brandon. Brian France indicated back in January that wins were going to be the thing. We want to drive the excitement. We want to increase the fan participation. We want to ramp up the drama because wins are going to matter. That's what this whole thing is based on, winning, getting the checkered flag, taking the trophy and the hardware home, and moving on to become a champion in the realm of NASCAR. No more are we going to allow the likes of, let's say, a Jimmy Johnson, because he tends to be a polarizing figure, and he ripped off 5 championship titles in a row. And for years, everyone sat back and said, ah, here we go. You know who's going to be the winner. You know who they want to do this again. We want to see that Jimmy Johnson. We already know he's going to be the guy that's going to win the whole thing. Well, you know, a lot of us sat back and said,
oh, no,
not again. So here we are. We've done it. We've had a taste of it. I personally have liked, essentially, the format which we've used here. It has ramped up the tension for drivers. It has placed an emphasis on winning. But it's a funny thing, you know, if you were to look at football, NFL, if you were to look at baseball, MLB, even, you know, more niche sports of NBA and NHL, by the time you finally get to that final, whether fans up to that point of those sports have been happy with the final 2 or final 4, most sit back resolved to the fact that, okay, that's all right, this was good, this was a good competition, my guy is in or my guy is out, but I'm still going to follow this to the end because it's been that kind of compelling. But interestingly, in NASCAR, the controversy about this format continues right up to the day of the event. So I guess my question to you is, Brandon, we've had a fine finish here as we go into the last event, or has this been something of a fraud final? What's your thought?
I think it's been good. I think the racing's been exciting. We've had some, you know, leading up to the chase, we had some interesting, you know, it's very exciting finishes, especially as we repeatedly talked about the Watkins Glen race, where you had 2 guys, basically their only shot at getting in the chase, and they put on a great show. I think we've seen that even at some of the levels of elimination in the chase. I mean, Brad Keselowski, you know, won a race to get to the next level at one point. Just last week, Kevin Harvick won a race to go to the next level. And I think it's working. I think, as, you know, you've kind of alluded to a controversy, the part that could make things take the shine off of this would be as if, say, Ryan Newman, a winless driver, wins the cup. And I think that's the crux of where we're at right here this week. And, you know, honestly, I personally don't think it's going to become an issue. I don't think he's going to win. I think Kevin Harvick or even Denny Hamlin are going to win. You know, Joey Logano's been there all year long. So far, he's not looking so hot down there at Homestead, so we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, moving forward, if we come out of this, the first year NASCAR stresses we want winners, we want everybody to win the race, with somebody to be the first time in history not win a race and win the title, I think it's going to be – there's going to be some backlash at some levels.
Yeah, and you've hit it. That's the controversy. That's where we sit. And as I say, we sit actually on the day of the final event with a lot of folks either arms folded on chest and annoyed, or otherwise folks sitting on their hands wondering, how could this possibly be? Because in the event, and the odds are long, folks, and as I say, feel free to jump in if you've got comments, 347-826-9964. But should a winless driver, in this case it is Ryan Newman, should Ryan Newman get the title but not win the race, I think in a way that kind of usurps all of the integrity that NASCAR was hoping to put into the competition in the first place. And I'll be honest with you, it's going to be a first in history. I think it makes NASCAR something of a ignominious icon in sort of a funny way, because essentially what we are doing is we are crowning a champion that never had to really win anything. You know, a lot of the talk from old timers, a lot of the talk from those that are a bit skeptical, consistency matters. Consistency is what it's always been in NASCAR. So, hey, Newman's justified. He doesn't have to win to win. I don't know. I have a problem with that, Brandon. I mean, am I wrong? Is that crazy? Am I looking at this thing completely wrong?
No, I don't. I think you are correct, and a lot of people would agree with you. I actually agree with you. Well, let's bring this up now. We just posted on Frat House Sports a new article you wrote about a compelling way to solve this problem without any major changes. And that is, point and simply, you know, at that fourth, you know, level, the final elimination into the final round, if you don't have a win, you don't advance. The next person in line who does goes. And that would then take this scenario out of the equation. So I think that would be, you know, a perfect way to not tweak the current chase, keep it as exciting as it is, and even add another level. Let's face this. If Ryan Newman, who was coming through this points every level, knew that I have to win a race somewhere along the way or I'm not going to be able to compete for the final, you got to think they're ramping it up somewhere. You know, he did finish third at one of the races. You know, maybe that race he tries to go a little harder, you know, do what he did last week, you know, but instead of bumping, you know, Kyle Larson out of the way just to get in, he might be bumping somebody out of the way to win. I think that's right. The kind of intensity people are looking for, or NASCAR was looking for when they, you know, instituted this new chase with the elimination format. So, what are we going to see today? I truly don't think we're going to see Ryan Newman win. But if he does, it's going to be very, very controversial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, not for anything. I mean, and no disrespect, while not my favorite driver, I have no per se argument that it's Ryan Newman. I mean, it could be Paul Menard. We could name
a lot of
what we would consider to be second tier or fringe drivers. Heck, it could have been, you know, rookie Kyle Larson or Austin Dillon. We have a mad rookie field, some of which have driven with more vim and vigor, let's say, than regular past champs have. So Ryan Newman, as a person, as a driver, is not per se my target. The idea of Ryan Newman being a sort of a driver D, if we want to just dumb it down and call him a driver D. He is a winless driver at this point. While I will give him some credit also that last week he literally had to run hard out of turn four, and as you just mentioned, he had to drive Larson up into the wall in order to drive that final stretch to get his 11th place win in order to justify his position today. So I give him all the credit in the world for doing that. I guess my question is, where was that Ryan Newman all year? You know, why did it take until now for Ryan Newman to suddenly wake up and say, oh, boy, I guess if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. We've gone through 9 rounds of knockout competition, and Ryan Newman essentially, mathematically, because they say he's a pretty bright guy, mathematically knew with his crew exactly where he needed to be. And he delivered, especially through this final round, reasonably good finishes. And, you know, I'll give it to him. He did get a top five in Martinsville, and he rolled in third. He got 15th in Texas. He got 11th in Phoenix. He was strictly mediocre because he understood that was the little window by which he could get through and vie for a championship, but I really don't have to win. I don't have to destroy anything. I don't have to take another driver out. I just got to run clean enough. So I guess my argument, and I'm going to throw it out there, folks, you know, we had five-time Mr. Five-Time. He's now six-time, but we had Mr. Five-Time Jimmy Johnson, and essentially at this racetrack from, you know, the years of like 07 through 2011, as he repeated, he came into Miami Homestead with that philosophy that we saw with Ryan Newman. I know where I've got to finish. All I need is a 26 or better. All I need is a 24 or better. All I need is a 20 or better. He held back. We saw the thing. Okay, we're watching. Okay, yeah, you had an event champion. That was fine. We had an event champion. Last year it was Denny Hamlin. Who remembered? Not too many. Not too many. Right? You only remember the champion. But my question is, and I think we have Sidekick with us, so I'm going to bring him in.
I think we do.
I want to bring him in and let him have at this conversation as well. What we have allowed is, I think, something of a letdown ultimately to the fan base, because while nobody in NASCAR probably anticipated this kind of finish, I think somebody should have seen it coming. Good morning, Sidekick.
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can.
Okay. Sorry. Right. The allergies are kicking in, you know.
Mm.
And you're in St. Louis time. You're in St. Louis time, and you're probably about 25 degrees colder than we are.
Yeah. Yeah, it was snowing last night. We got snow on the ground.
Oh, boy. Wow. Oh, boy. Yeah, how about it, man?
You know, on the grass and on the cars, but, you know. Yeah.
Even still, it's just November 15, right? So
yeah, man.
That kind of portends a long and cold winter. What's your thought, Sidekick? Give us the Sidekick read on this competition. How do you like what we've seen? We're going into it, man. We're about ready to tee up and kick off. That's going to be a 3 o'clock start. How do you like it? We've come through nine. We got a final four. You like that final four?
I do like the final four. I know we were kind of talking about it yesterday, you know, and I think I have a little bit of a difference of opinion than everybody.
All right. That's why we're here, and that's what we want to hear.
You know, so we ought to have a good talk this morning, as long as my voice holds out. I don't know how Fred House Mike is doing with his voice, but we'll see.
Fred House Mike is in the chat room at this point. I would not be surprised he doesn't climb in. He's probably having a mug of coffee, and he's waiting to warm up his pipes as well. But go ahead, start the car for us there, Sidekick. What's your view? What's your take? What's your take?
Well, you know, let me say one thing off the top before we get really into this debate about this new chase format. You know, here's something that's actually, I think, a positive, regardless of where you stand on either side of the debate here about whether we like the new chase format or not. I have to say that, you know, with this new chase format, though, everybody's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's the winner should be in or the other should be in. Is this thing working? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on my Wi-Fi, so I worry sometimes. But everybody's talking about it. You know, I like it. I don't like it. Here's why I like it. Here's why I don't like it. Back and forth. So, in a way, what NASCAR has done though is they've got everybody involved in the chase.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because everybody's got an opinion now. You know, it's just not a, oh, ho-hum, it's Jimmy Johnson going to win this year.
Right.
You know, he's run away with it. Or, you know, it's a Brad Keselowski or it's a Tony Stewart. You know, which are basically, if you look at the last 10 to 12 years.
That's
really,
who it's been.
Well, it's been, you know, it's been Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart, and Brad Keselowski. Mm. Those three guys. Excuse me. So, the fact that everybody's talking about it has to be good for NASCAR at some level. You know what I mean? Because you've got people like energized, you know, where, you know, I can't stand this chase format. I hate it.
Right.
But you're tuning in every week.
Dave, I think you're hitting the crux of it right now, though. That's what NASCAR was sick of with Jimmy Johnson doing this riding around thing. And if Ryan Newman rides around to win a championship today, I think it's going to just backfire in everybody's face.
Right. And, you know, at the end of the day, all this discussion may be about nothing.
Oh, yeah. Very
because,
true.
Because, one, Ryan Newman doesn't do well at this track. And of the four, he's like in 20-something place. Qualifying-wise. So he's at the back of the pack.
He didn't
even
practice that great. Right.
You know.
Yeah, even. Right. I would agree.
But,
listen. I mean, you know, we're hearing Mike, like I said last week, you hear Mike Tirico and John Gruden, you know, on Monday Night Football, you know, not last week, but the prior week, bring up NASCAR when there's a bit of a scuttlebutt on the field of play. And, you know, when NASCAR is getting that kind of exposure where somebody, you know, commentators on Monday Night Football are referencing, wow, look at this, it's going to break out into a NASCAR fight. Hey, that's a triumph. That is an absolute triumph for the sport in the sense of exposure and that. And that's fine. That's fine. And, of course, we saw a lot of the post-race activity and off-track, you know, pugilism and shoving and pushing. And there was a lot of angst and anger between drivers. And we like that. We like that as fans. And NASCAR doesn't mind that either. They've sort of allowed a sense of, hey, we're going to let the guys have at it. You know, we don't want to get the crews involved. And, of course, they came down with sanctions against the crews, which, again, kind of left me scratching my head. But, okay, that's fine. So I agree with you, and I'll give you that one sidekick as well, that, in fact, at this point, and especially going into next year, 2015, where we're going to see some other additional changes to help promote the sport, I think it's great. I think that's where NASCAR really wants to be. Let me ask you this. Is there, or Brandon, both of you, and those out there listening, is there a sense of we're ditching our old core group of NASCAR followers, and now what we want to do is we want to change this. We're going to change the scheme because we want to bring in the new NASCAR. We want to bring in the new young drivers. We like that Chase Elliott. We're liking that Darrell Bubba Wallace. We like this Kyle Larson and Austin Dillon. These are the future drivers that are going to replace eventually the Johnsons, the Gordons, the Stewarts. And this is the direction we go. And as we do that, we are now changing even the way we're going to crown our champion. We want to have more action, more compelling drama. Get in our chat room, get on our websites, reach out to us via social media. This is the new NASCAR, right? I mean, maybe, as you say, this is we're debating in a vacuum because it's old school's about ready to go away.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's kind of like how they're bringing back the sports cars, if we look at the auto industry, okay? You've got the new Mustangs and the new Chargers and the new Challengers.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, they're new. They're fancy. But yet they have some elements of the classic in them. You know what I mean? So you kind of tie it in so you bridge it. You know what I mean? And, you know, just to go back to the fighting thing for a second, you know, it's kind of like hockey with fighting. And I think that's what NASCAR is trying to do. And that's possibly why we saw some fines levied against the pit crews and stuff, is you want to encourage the emotion of the drivers. You know, hey, if you get two drivers that get up in each other's face and maybe want to throw a punch or two, hey, we're all for that. That's exciting. That's great stuff. We want to see that. Got that NASCAR has that fine line that they have to draw, that they don't want it to be like what it was the other weekend, where you've got this, you know, this 20-man battle royal over the top rope thing going on in pit road. You know what I mean?
You know, I'll be honest, I liked it. I liked it.
I loved it. So did I. I was on Facebook. Oh my god, dude! I was jumping up and down. I was like,
dude, we were hollering.
I loved it.
We were hollering more about that here at the frat house that Sunday. The hoots, the hollers, the crazy, and we had a pretty good crowd that weekend. We were hollering more about that than football, which, of course, you know, we had three monitors of NFL games going on. But all at once, everybody, the house exploded as that thing, you know, blew up. So, was good.
You know, and let's be honest, as NASCAR fans, we tune in and we root for our racers every week in and week out. But deep, deep down inside of us, there's a part of us that tunes in every week to watch NASCAR looking for a fight or looking for a big wreck. Some big, fabulous, you know, highlight reel wreck. You know, Ryan Newman on his hood sliding across the finish line. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Kind of thing. You know, they're there is that small piece of every NASCAR fan that's looking for that. That's why mm-hmm. we tune in every week. We may not want to say it, but that's part of the reason we tune in every week. You know, that's why we like the Talladegas and these restrictor plate tracks, you know, these super speedways and stuff like that, you know, the big one, you know, 15 cars all mangled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it feeds our psyche a little bit.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, you know, Brandon, you were chatting about, and we were chatting, you and I, earlier this week, that, you know, there is a focus change in the NASCAR sport from the standpoint of time was, if your driver drove a Chevy, then you like Team Chevy. If your driver drove a particular sponsor, let me pull one up that I can think of, Napa, let's say. Well, then, in fact, you know, you kind of followed that Napa sponsorship with other teams at other levels. Some of that is all faded away. And to Sidekick's point, you know, now we're less about sponsorship, we're less about manufacturer loyalty than we really are about the drivers. And is that a good thing? I guess maybe that's a good thing, right? NASCAR really wants us to become, you know, part of a nation, right? We heard all about it. I mean, more than I've ever heard. We heard about Junior Nation, Bush Nation, you know, name them. I mean, everybody had a nation. We've gone from 16 drivers. Now we've got 16 nations. I mean, maybe that's part of the whole thing, too. And again, does that kind of tear at the fabric of the old core versus the new core?
Yeah, I think it does. And here's the part of it that I'm concerned about. Old NASCAR, and I think Dave probably was even a fan back then, you know, where you could see the cars on the track and they resembled what you could buy in the showroom. And mm-hmm. and let's just say, for example, you're an old school Dale Earnhardt fan or an old school Bill Elliott fan. Well, you could go buy a Monte Carlo SS or a Ford Thunderbird that very loosely resembled, you know, or not so loosely, rather, resembled the car, you know, that you're watching on Sunday. They looked a lot
mm-hmm.
alike.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they really don't look much like what you see on the road. The Fusion does not look anything like a Ford Fusion you drive. The Chevy SS, I'm not even sure if there's a car you can drive on the road that's an SS. I heard they were making limited numbers of them. I've never seen one live. And the Toyota Camry totally doesn't look like a Camry you see on the road. So I think that, along with, like you had pointed out, this new nation of drivers, in other words, like NASCAR is really promoting you to follow a certain driver. The only problem mm-hmm. I see with this is if your driver has a problem and wrecks early, are you still going to tune in and watch? Because I remember back in the 80s and 90s, you know, okay, yeah, I'm a Dale Earnhardt Sr. fan. Dale Earnhardt blows up, crashes, has a problem. I latch onto another Chevy driver or a teammate kind of thing, where I don't know so much that today's NASCAR fan would do that. Like, they don't have another guy they'd like to see win if, you know, so-and-so goes out. And I'm just worried that might not be, you know, a little flaw in the ointment with this whole new nation format. I realize they're trying to get, you know, rabid followers, and that's all well and good. But are they going to stay tuned in if their guy goes out early? Because I know I used to. I'm sure, Dave, you could probably, you know, speak to it as well, that, you know, yeah, you'd be disappointed if Tony Stewart went out early, but you'd probably find somebody else to latch on to watch.
Well, yeah. It's weird. I think NASCAR is at a point where you've got an old school guard versus a, you know, new school coming in. You know, there's still tons of fans out there that are Lowe's, you know, as an example. I'm allegiant to Lowe's, or, you know, I'm a Chevy guy, or I'm a Ford guy, and stuff like that. You know, obviously, you're always going to have, there's always going to be Junior Nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You've got your diehard Gordon fans. You've got your, you know, where, at, you know, it seems like the Junior Nation fans, the Gordon fans, all hate Kyle Busch with a passion. You'll never see them root for Kyle Busch. You know what I mean? There's always going to be that niche or that pocket of people. that still do that, where, you know, I was guilty of it. You know, I only shopped at, you know, Home Depot because Tony Stewart's my guy, you know. But, you know, if Tony Stewart went out in a race, I rooted for the Joe Gibbs stable. You know, for the longest time, I was a Denny Hamlin fan. You know, it used to be when I watched NASCAR, Tony Stewart was my guy, you know, my driver. And then every year I would pick one of the rookies and I would root for one of the rookies. You know, mm-hmm. I remember rooting for Carl Edwards before he became a whiny little crybaby. you know, I did. I remember, you know, because he was a hometown boy for me. You know, so in Carl Edwards' rookie year, you know, I was all on the Carl Edwards bandwagon. And then a year or two into it, he all of a sudden started being a whiny ass. And I, quite frankly, don't like whiny racers. Same thing happened with Denny Hamlin. I was all on the Denny Hamlin. You know, he was a rookie, had all those FedEx commercials. I thought those FedEx commercials were awesome, were hilarious. You know, so I was on the Denny Hamlin train for a while, and then he became a bit of a whiny baby. This year, I kind of was on the Kyle Larson train a little bit, you know. I was on the Juan Pablo train for a little bit, you know. I kind of liked him because, you know, people, you know, he had a bit of an edge to him. You know, mm-hmm. he rubbed mm-hmm. people. You know, Kyle Busch. You know, I'm a Kyle, you know, I hated Kyle Busch when he raced for Hendrick. Couldn't stand him. I hated all the Hendrick drivers. You know, couldn't stand, you know, I would root against them every chance I had until we got into fantasy. And then I started putting Jimmy Johnson on my team because, you know, Jimmy Johnson wins races.
He does win, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is a funny thing when it comes to fantasy. You kind of do become a little more mercenary rather than loyal. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's some new school people, more casual, where they may, you know, hey, you know, you've got women fans coming in all on the Danica Patrick train, you know. You've got also some women fans, you know, you've got both Jen and Steph, you know, they like their drivers because they're cute.
Yeah, they like that Casey Kane, yeah.
you know what I mean? They like that Martin Truex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for the sport. I think it takes a little bit of everybody. And that, so, you know, I think, you know, as long as you've got, you know, as long as you got fans coming in that are, you know, latching on to a driver or a team, like, you know, right now, I'm, you know, being Tony Stewart fan, I'm loving Harvick mm-hmm. and, you know, his old stable, except for Danica. I'm sorry, I just don't root for Danica. Mm-hmm. And we've gone over that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was mercifully not as... not as prevalent a drone strike this year as we've seen in the past, but we do know that she has something of a, you know, whether it's deserved or not, she has something of a ticking time bomb kind of reputation when we see her flying around the track.
Yeah. So, you know, I think all that's good for, you know, the new blood is good for NASCAR, you know, but at the same time, you know, everybody keeps talking about, oh, the ratings are down week after week, the ratings are down, you know, and I think NASCAR's, you know, I don't think that's due to new chase formats or anything
like that.
I just think it's kind of a lull in the popularity right now. You know, there was, you know, there's for a couple of years, there's been money issues with NASCAR, the expense of, you know, building, you know, changing the car so often and stuff like that. So, you know, there is a bit, you know, of a downward turn right now. I don't think we're talking about the end of NASCAR, but, you know,
we've got to
figure out.
In in fairness, if I may, we've seen this was lame duck for several broadcasters too of the sport as far as television ratings. We had lame duck broadcasting, and you know the quality of the broadcasting was terrible. Let's be honest with you, it is terrible. NASCAR TV with TNT, that was awful. We haven't seen exactly the best of these last chase races. We do cut away. I mean, invariably, when they cut away to a commercial, you can bet there's going to be a caution that you're going to return to. You may or may not get the reason for the caution. They're going with fewer cameras at the track. So I think the entire broadcasted product has been, in my view, absolutely, you know, circumspect and secondary and tertiary to the quality of actually what has been on the track. At the same time, and on the other hand, and it kind of goes to a conversation again that Brandon and Frat House Mike and I had recently, unfortunately, we are seeing the gate diminishment at different venues. And we are seeing, with the exception of Daytona, where they're actually attempting to build additional seating and grandstands, we're seeing reduction of grandstands. We're seeing diminishment of track venues. That certainly, more than anything else, you can keep your social media, you can keep your cyber fandom, but in fact, if we're not going to Darlington, if we're not going to Charlotte, if we're not showing up at Martinsville, well then, in fact, I think that should holler at the top of its lungs to, you know, Franz and Helton and those guys at the top. No?
Right. No, absolutely. And I think part of, you know, I think what needs to be analyzed is how much of this is loss of a fan base versus economics.
Mm-hmm.
And, that, you know, like I was alluding to earlier, you know, part of this is, you know, we've had this, you know, kind of recession going on for a number of years. So we've saw a little bit of a shrinkage in the, you know, in the number of folks that are coming to the races. You know, are we still seeing that due to economic issues?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the economy hasn't really rebounded yet? Or are mm-hmm. we actually seeing this because fans aren't just wanting to go to the races anymore?
You right. Know? Brandon, you could speak to it, right? It ain't no cheap thing to go to a NASCAR race.
No, the ticket prices, the travel, cost of traveling, even if you're driving, you know, it all adds up. And I think it does, you know, there's several tracks who are, you know, removing seats rather than add them. I mean, just in our general area, I mean, Richmond, Virginia has torn down a huge section of grandstands. Dover, Delaware's announced they're doing similar, you know, reductions. So, you know, it's happening. I think you had pointed out that, you know, Daytona is actually building, but I think they actually are replacing. So they're not going
well,
back.
Well, the thing with Daytona is they are actually removing stands, but as part of removing the stands, they're doing an overall overhaul of the whole seating stands. Like they're built, you know, they're basically tearing down all the stands and rebuilding new stuff. Well, you know, they're taking away the back stretch seating. So, but they're doing like basically an overhaul of the whole seating thing. So, which
right,
I can't wait.
Listen, we've got Frat House Mike with us, so I'm just gonna put that out there. You can finish your thought, Sidekick, but don't be surprised. We're gonna have Frat House Mike joining us in with his thoughts as well. Good morning, Frat House Mike.
Hey, how we doing?
All right. We're talking it. We're talking NASCAR. We're talking about what's good, what's wrong, how this has worked out in terms of a playoff. You know, we're at the final cut. We're at the final cut. We've seen ratings TV go down for NASCAR. We're talking about reduction of seating capability at tracks. So on one hand, NASCAR is absolutely going the wrong direction. On the other hand, we're talking about NASCAR on NFL broadcast. We've got state-of-the-art, cutting-edge technology in place so that people can reach out via Twitter and stay involved. We've got nations growing in loyalty to drivers. Which way's NASCAR going? And is it better? Is it worse? Does it matter? Any thought there, Fred House Mike?
Oh, I didn't know you were throwing to me.
Putting it out there, we'll throw it to you since you're just joining.
You know, you're talking about diminution of the fan base. Yeah, I don't know whether, Sidekick, you addressed it earlier on or not, because I'm sitting over here and I've had all kinds of issues this morning. I couldn't even get through via Skype before, but I think you're going to see a tremendous diminution of the fan base if Ryan Newman wins today. I'm serious. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not happy. I am not going to be a happy individual if that occurs. And I know that last night, Sidekick, you were making the case for, yeah, and I know that you have now for many, many years. You've talked about the whole concept of consistency. And consistency was one thing, I think, a couple of years ago when we were operating under the previous format. But this is a different situation where we don't want a champion who, I guess, has basically gotten there just through quote-unquote consistency. We're looking for winners. And I don't know whether you addressed that earlier or not, but I got to tell you, I couldn't be more on the opposite side of you than on this issue.
Oh, see, that's why I was waiting for you to come in. I haven't actually talked about that yet. We talked about some other stuff. I was waiting for you to come in so we could go at this and have some fun.
Well, here's what I'll do. Let me set the table for you, because on Friday, okay, 2 days ago, I sat down and in a stream of consciousness kind of thing, I went off for about 1,100 words. It's now an article. It was a possible article. Now it's an article up on Frat House Sports website about how opposed I am to the entire notion of a winless driver thing, okay? Never mind the headless horseman and Ichabod Crane, okay? I'm truly afraid for this sport, if we're going to promote winners who haven't, won a race, call the idea not only counterintuitive, but I call it counterproductive. And further, that's it. It's a violation. I think it's a violation. I think what we have here is the potential winner getting the title without winning the title. And I think I that's where I'm going with it. Now, who wants to have that idea?
Yeah, right.
Well, I did read your article yesterday. Didn't really look at the outline for the show today. Mm-hmm. Haven't had a whole lot of time with Mom, but I did read your article.
We're kind of off the outline.
Article.
Don't worry. We're off the outline.
So I read your article, and I like your article. I have one issue, though.
Mm-hmm.
I guess let's go back to the elephant in the room, Ryan Newman. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's the elephant in the room. You got it.
You know, here's how the way I kind of see NASCAR with their definition of a championship. All right. You have 42 to 45 teams. You know, there are some teams that don't qualify every week.
Right.
So you essentially have a 40 something field of drivers out there who every week go to a track and they race. You have a winner who wins the race, but the emphasis, though, and how we crown our champion is based on a points system.
No doubt.
So, it's not like the NFL where you can see a losing record team, potentially NFC South, get into the playoff round, okay?
Have that with Newman, though, I would contend. We do have a losing record in Ryan Newman, and he's running today for a title. And he's has,
right, but with, due, with due respect to what Psychic's no with due respect to what Psychic's saying, I think he's right, though. He's not a loser.
Exactly.
Well, he ain't a winner.
No,
you're right about that.
Yes, he has not won a race. But NASCAR doesn't have a win and loss column. They have a points column.
Well, then why do we count wins at all? Then wins should not even matter. It should
I go right there. Then don't even count wins.
Right. Wins are pointless. Top fives, right. Forget about it. He's got five thus far. Top tens, he's got six. Wipe them out, too. Laps led 41. Hey, it don't matter.
Well, right, but here's where this – I guess basically the reason we have a chase and the reason we have an amended chase mm-hmm. is these are the Jimmy Johnson rules. Basically, that's – NASCAR's not going to call it that, but that's what they are. You know, you've got Jimmy Johnson who's won six out of, like, the last 10 championships, okay? They have to do something because I think they feared that the fan base was going away because Jimmy Johnson won every year.
Well,
okay?
It sounds to me like NASCAR is afraid of Johnson Nation. That sounds a little bass-ackwards to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're trying to tweak it to keep it interesting.
Yeah, but at the same time, they might just very well disenfranchise a good portion of their fan base by the end of the day today.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I got an easier solution to this. They did this year with the whole point of emphasizing wins. That's NASCAR wanted to do.
Right.
It's kind of backfiring on them if Ryan Newman wins. I don't know how they're going to handle that. But and this kind of brings it all together. It's what Jimmy Johnson was doing to win his championships is he would get a significant lead and then just go cruising for the last few races, making them very uneventful and boring.
So I need a 23 or better. I need a 26 or better.
Exactly. Right. Yep. And that's what they wanted to avoid. And they thought they could do this simply by requiring wins to get in and to advance. And I think they think the odds of what we see here happening today were slim and none. Now, we had a conversation here at the Frat House last night. Really, if you look at it, and I still agree, I still contend this is the case. You know, Matt Kenseth, who did not have a win, finished second like three or four times. You know, one thing goes different in any of those races. He takes one of the wins away from Harvick or Keselowski, and we have one less winless guy in the chase. I don't think it's that far out of the realm to get a second and get to the 16. But whether or not we get to 16 or not, you would think you would have all wins going forward in the chase. And it just so happens that one guy managed to squeak through. And I think, it's the first year they're doing this. For this to happen this year is bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. And if he wins, it will be unbelievable. I don't know what we're going to see. I don't know what kind of outcry you're going to see from NASCAR or the fan base. But honestly, I don't see it happening. I think either Harvick or Hamlin walks out with the title today.
All right, let me put this out there. This was my recommendation, my suggestion. You know, it's funny, Jeff Gordon yesterday, he was chatting down there with the media, and he had a recommendation of what he would do in terms of tweaking this format a little bit. Here's what I would propose. If, in fact, wins matter, and you get to that ninth race, and let's say you're a winless driver, and you've come through the three rounds, challenger, you've made it through on points, contender, okay, you've satisfied through points and you've made it, now you're in the eliminator round and you've run through race number 7 and race number 8 and you get to that ninth round, that ninth race at Phoenix, at that point I would contend a win is the only way to justify going forward. And let's say there was more than one driver at that point, who was in that same boat. Let's say there are two that are going into Phoenix. Only one can win, but both must win. Let's say neither wins. Well, if in fact winning is the basis upon which we will justify allowing eligibility, then driver D disqualified after race 9. You had 9 chances, dude, to win, or babe. And if there's two, then driver D and driver C are both disqualified. What shall we do? Let's go back, look at the prior cuts, and let's establish then replacement drivers who were cut earlier, but at least had one win to their credit through the year. Are we promoting winners, or does everybody get a trophy, NASCAR? That's my question.
Well,
Here's the problem I have with your concept, Mark. You are potentially awarding losers.
No.
Absolutely. Because what you're doing is you're taking people that weren't good enough to make the cut, and you're saying, you, sir, did not get a win during the season, so you cannot possibly challenge for the championship. So we're going to take someone who wasn't good enough to make a cut earlier but did have the win, and we're going to put them back into, you know.
It's an outrage.
Well, in some respects, I understand your logic, Sidekick, albeit I'm having trouble wrapping my brain around it.
I think if you do it all at the same time, though, you're really not. Because if it's just the last race,
right,
and, you know, you got, in this particular, let's take the driver C, D, whatever, out of this, you got Ryan Newman who went in. 1 point behind him was Jeff Gordon. It basically is, instead of saying we're elevating Gordon, you know, or disqualifying Newman, elevating Gordon, you know, it's just simple. Newman isn't eligible because he hasn't won a race. So Gordon is next in line. He really was the fourth finisher. In other words, if you're making a requirement, you have a finish. It's not like you're saying, okay, you're disqualified or you're gone. You just aren't eligible to advance to the final round because you don't have
Correct.
A win. Gordon
right.
is. So, I mean,
right.
I don't consider that putting a loser in. I think you're just putting
the top
four eligible guys
right.
to the next round.
Best.
Well, let's go
if
to,
you
well,
make it an
right.
eligibility requirement.
Right. Let's go to today's scenario for a moment, okay? And if I'm not mistaken, and I'm almost positive I read this, and maybe Mark's got the actual numbers on this. Ryan Newman, the entire 35 races up to this point, has led 10 laps.
41.
Stinking, 41. Okay. All
41.
Right, whatever. Consider how many laps have been run in 35 races. Ryan Newman has led 41 of them. And the rest of the time, he has been able to find himself maybe a little bit near the front, maybe mid-pack, and he's kept his nose out of trouble. You don't think this is awarding a loser? Please.
No, let me, in the words of my favorite wrestler, Austin Aries, let me propose option C.
Okay.
Okay. The problem with the previous chase format and the new chase format is NASCAR is saying we're going to have X number of drivers in the playoffs. Under the old chase system, it was 16 or it was 12. Under the new system, it's 16 because we're going to cut four, and then we're going to have the final four. Okay. In both of these scenarios, if you did not have X number of winners, you had to put non-winners.
Right.
You had to fill the spots.
Right.
Okay. So that's what we see. That's what we've seen the last 10 years of the chase.
We call that in other sports wild cards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, which we've seen wild cards advance in other sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen wild cards win championships.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
But they had to win something. They didn't
yes.
just have to be first runner-up or least troublesome or most likable or, you know what I'm saying?
So what I would suggest is we actually go back to the old chase format.
I agree.
The 12-driver format.
Yep,
but
I like 12.
Instead of saying 12 drivers will advance, we say only winners will advance. Whatever that number be, whether it be 6, 7,
mm-hmm.
12, 16,
mm-hmm.
only race winners advance to the chase. Then you no longer have the issue of non-winners in the chase.
Okay, what happens when you don't have 12?
Then you have less.
Then you go with the number. You're saying you go with whatever the number is.
Exactly.
Yeah, correct.
It
could be 7, could
no,
be 5,
don't
could be
do
3.
The, don't.
Well, then
don't.
you're back where you were before. You'll have Jimmy Johnson run hard to get a huge lead and then sit and coast the last three races. That's what you're trying to avoid with the cuts.
Mm-hmm.
See my
right.
point? In other words, if you have all winners, say
but,
I think we had, what, 13 winners this year because we had three guys who got in on points. If you had them 13 run all 10 chase races, somebody, like probably Brad Keselowski or somebody who's not even in it, would be up front in points cruising, you know, with having to finish 24th or better today to get a title, and he's not going to be competitive.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they want to stop.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, off the top of my head, you could make an amendment for the ninth race. And you say at the end of the ninth. See, the problem is you can't guarantee the number of winners each season.
I understand that, but.
You know.
I agree, though, that you have to make that ninth race pivotal. That has to be made clear.
Well,
because
right.
Otherwise, I don't care if you want to run 18 races in the chase. To me, it is irrespective to the idea and the mantra which was put forth, and that is, you know what, we're going to reward winning. Well, we're not rewarding winning. Clearly, we're
right.
not rewarding winning. We're allowing some mediocrity, and okay, I'll give you the wild card thing, and I'll give you the whole Cinderella charm. I like the Cinderella charm, too. I just don't like it in NASCAR.
Right. Well, what you could do is in that ninth race, you say, okay, at the end of the ninth race, we're going to take the number one driver and the number two driver. Both have to have wins. Well, see, they should have wins. See, they should have wins. So,
yeah.
Okay, just take the number one driver, the number two driver. They go to Homestead. The two drivers will race for the championship. They've all got a win because in order to even get into the 10 races, you have to have a win.
I agree. I think that's got to be made clear.
At some point in the season, you've had to have at least had a win. You may not have a win in the chase.
I'll give it to you during the chase. We saw it happen. Where, you know, somebody did at the 11th hour was able to get that win to stay alive. That is fine. And as Brandon said, we did see pointless drivers get in the wild card. I don't mind the transfer into the chase to fill the field based on a wild card. Okay, you had the best possible points through 26. We're going to throw the bone so we can complete the field. But advancement at that point has to be maintained firmly as a win to stay in. And if you're going to transfer through, okay, we're going to allow it. You can transfer through that first round. You can become from a challenger to contender. Okay, we'll let you transfer again. I don't have a problem. You're still running hard through that contender round. You came so close. But the pressure was on. You know you got to win that last eliminator round at least one. What it does is it does maintain that drive on the pilot to make sure, I got to get a win. Otherwise, this thing is done. What have we done? I've let down my team. I've let down my fan base. I've let down everybody. I've got to get a win in order to survive. If I don't, at the end of eliminator round number three, race number nine, that's it. You're done. We're going to go back. The first next best driver is in.
The only problem I see with your scenario, Uncle Mark, would be in the unlikely possibility that this could happen. And I hesitate to say that because, listen, the whole reason we're having this conversation is because of the most unlikely situation is happening.
Agreed.
In the unlikely situation that three out of four of the potentially advancing drivers do not have wins, we're now going to remove them. We're going to put in others. And you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a firestorm of fans that are going to be screaming, saying that NASCAR is manipulating the outcome of the race. And we've seen it before. We heard it last year when Jeff Gordon was put in as the 13th. So That's going to be the, you know, I'm saying your system, I think, works if you've got one. I think you're even pushing it with two. But boy, oh boy, if you go three, it's a disaster.
Well, you know,
do you think it's possible to get to that point, though? I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we didn't think it was possible to get to this point.
Well, no, I mean, with the way we have the wins to advance into the next round, I mean, you have three races with the, you know, the chance to advance into the next round. Do you really think we could get to, you know,
having three unwinning drivers in that last round of eight. I mean, I think
again,
that's very hard.
Well, I agree with you. Again,
mathematically,
I'm saying,
it would be, yeah. Even this year, we only started with three, and we got down to two very quickly because Greg Biffle went out in the first round, and then we lost Kenseth, but Newman's managed to survive all the way through.
And that was the unlikely situation that I've heard all three of you say at one point or another, well, I'm sure this isn't what NASCAR anticipated. No, it's not what they anticipated. That's why I think it's wonderful that it occurred in year one. I think it is absolutely terrific that the most unlikely thing would happen the very first year. And the odds are, think about it, that if it's happening in year one, it's going to happen again without something being tweaked.
I agree. I think you're right. I think that potential is there for it to happen again if they don't tweak it. I think they need to. And Bill France, you know, said this week there was going to be very little, if any, modifications. I don't consider a tweak like adding a required win to advance to the final round being a major modification. See, I think that solves – I think Uncle Mark's suggestion solves almost every problem. You know, the only slight thing, like Mike just pointed out, is if you have multiple guys who don't have a win at that point, would you disenfranchise? You know, I'd like to think it's almost impossible. A win gets you into the chase. A win advances you in the chase. If you keep the four levels of, you know, eliminations, I mean, sit and have three of four, not have a win going into that final round, I think would be mathematically infinitesimal. I mean, I can't imagine.
Brandon, I might agree with you, but I'm just saying I think that at this point, every potential outcome has to be looked at.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Yeah.
When you consider for a moment that, as Mark pointed out, all the hype that has been created around this particular chase and the new format and, hey, let's create the nation concept. Can you imagine what the outcome would be on NASCAR if, in fact, they eliminated three nations after they've been promoting it from the very beginning? Oh, get on board, get on board. Hey, I'm on board. I'm rooting for my guy. And son of a gun, you're going to rip him out of the chase with one race left.
See, to me, I've got to echo that, too, because I think what we have seen is a successful playoff format with NASCAR, and they are taking it right up to the start-finish line of their signature event, and as far as I'm concerned, they're blowing smoke now. They had thought this thing through 90% of the way, and all at once, we're going to have a brain fart for the final. Oh, boy, yeah, I guess we're going to let the guy in. And here is where it kind of goes, and I guess it makes sense because let's look at it. Brian France is a commissioner for all intent and purpose. He's not a commissioner, but essentially he is. And he's down there at Miami, Homestead, Miami, and he's essentially telling the media, which he must, and I understand he must, that no, you know, we're probably, you know, slim to none probability of doing any changes to the format for next year. Of course, he's got to say that.
Why don't you drop by my office then? Okay.
Well, I'd like to drop by, but I don't think he really probably wants to hear anything until this is all said and done. And while the odds are terribly, 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 terribly long that Ryan Newman will get the championship, I think the possibility should be eliminated going forward of having this scenario occur a second time. Now, we've got about 25 minutes. I'm just putting it out there, and I want to throw out the number if anybody's out there and awake and you want to join in. We've got about 25 minutes, folks. Give us a call. We got four pretty intelligent coconuts over here, and we're all chatting this NASCAR stuff. 347-826-9964. Climb in with us. Give us your thoughts on what it is, because go ahead, Sidekick. I do have a couple of quick bullets I want to hit everybody with and following.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Sidekick.
Real quick. Here's the problem. You can do all the stats analysis you want, you know, and everything about how to tweak the chase. But if you're going to allow a non-winner into the chase, there is a chance that that driver can win the championship.
Yeah, well, we got it.
Without getting the win.
You got it.
So you have to find some way to get that non-race winner. I won't call him a loser. Non-race winner out of your format. And unless you put in a mechanism for that, you're always going to have the Ryan Newman.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, you might. And I'm going to tell you, where I sit today, I'm going to put it to you this way. I said it last night, and I'll say it again publicly. From where I'm sitting, I hope that Ryan Newman does win the championship today without winning the race, because I want to see how this is going to play out.
Right.
That's what I want to see. I want to see how NASCAR is going to respond to it. I want to see how the fans are going to respond to it. I'm hoping that, in fact, it does go that way today. As remotely as we all believe that it is, that it could possibly happen, I'm actually kind of sitting back and, you know, kind of snickering under my breath and going, boy, I really hope that's the case.
Well, I agree with you, Mike, and I think you speak to what I describe as, you know, the somewhat cynical fan who is sitting back, arms folded across chest, you know, eyebrows slightly raised, saying, let's see how they're getting out of this one. Now, you know, it does go back to, is there any publicity that's bad publicity when it comes to NASCAR? Probably not at this point, because they're hoping things are going to only get better anyway. And this might actually drive, ironically, some of the viewership today, because there's a good complement of that thinking, Fred House Mike, out there. And I think a lot of people are going to be watching in spite of, not because of, the championship.
It's the right. Curiosity seekers that want to see a train wreck.
Right. Yeah. Precisely.
Well, but as I mentioned
I don't know. Is it the best product? I don't think we're getting the best product. I think a Kyle Busch ought to be in there. I think, you know, even a Kurt Busch ought to be in there. I think, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Hendrick guys, but let's be straight about it. They gave us wins during the year. You know, like them or not, Gordon did it. Like them or not, Johnson did it. You know, Edwards has been part of it. At least he gave me two wins this year. You know, he gave me top fives. He gave me top tens. You know, he led some laps. I mean, there are other drivers that could have made it that, I'm sorry, you didn't make the cut. And you can't trigger it on each round, because what we're going to do is we might see a diminishment from 16 to 6, like almost immediately after, you know, just a few rounds. So you certainly want to have a trigger, and that's why I think you probably want to make that race 9 the trigger. Let me ask you this. You know, there's some speculation. Is there anything to the idea that there's going to be teammates helping each other today?
Well,
I mean, really?
So. Yeah, I think so.
How are we going to help each other? We can't obviously spin. We can't necessarily do the real flagrant, obvious things. What are we going to do? We're going to block on pit road?
Yeah,
does it really matter?
That's what I think.
Is it really going to matter? What do you think? Sidekick, Brandon. Mike says, yeah, absolutely. Teammates are going to figure.
Well, let me say this real fast. I am so excited for this race today.
Yeah,
regardless of the outcome of it, I can't wait for 3 p.m. to come.
I know. I agree.
I am so – but that's what NASCAR wants.
Mm-hmm.
Qualify it. What are you excited about? What are you looking forward to seeing?
I can't wait to watch the race.
Because I'm hoping that it's going to be Newman. Is that what you're hoping for?
No, I'm just – as a fan, I just can't wait to see this race. We're going to crown a champ. There's four contenders.
Mm-hmm.
Winner or not, there's four people racing for a win. This is it. Your champion is today. And I can't wait to see. As a fan, I want to watch this race. I want this race to start as soon as our broadcast is over.
Do you find yourself pulling for one of them? Are you pulling for one of them?
Of the drivers that are in, I will probably be rooting for Harvick, and I'll probably be rooting for Newman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Newman fan.
Why are you rooting for Newman?
I'm a little bit of an underdog kind of guy.
You like that Cinderella stuff.
Okay. You know what I mean?
I got you. Yeah.
And because what are we going to do until February? We're going to talk about Ryan Newman.
Yeah, probably right.
Well, see,
yeah.
You're right on my page. See, you're right where
I am.
I mean? You want to see the train wreck.
No, I don't. It's not because of the train wreck, but luckily, football, you have football hangover, and it seems like forever until football kicks up again. NASCAR ends today, the week after the Super Bowl, it picks up
again. It kicks right up again, yep.
You know what I mean? So if we can talk about NASCAR until Daytona, until, you know, the week before Daytona, hell
mm-hmm.
yeah. You know, I can talk about NASCAR for 365 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
you know
I agree.
I mean,
at
the very crux of it, I'm a fan, and I can't wait to see this race. Because for once, it's exciting. It's not Jimmy Johnson has to finish 23rd or better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's a novelty. That's how I would describe it. It's a novelty.
And that's possible, but I'm still excited.
Well, we're going to have a champion. You know, this is obviously championship, so we're going to see that. We're going to see the event winner who, you know, Vegas odds say the event winner is not going to be the champion per se.
Wow.
So that by itself is a whole totally different thing, and we can go to that with fantasy when we do
Ryan
our fantasy our fantasy picks. But you're going to have your event winner. You're going to have your champion. They may be the same. They may be different. Obviously, we're going to see it, who's going to win from, you know, the manufacturer, who's going to win on the owner's side. So I agree. I mean, this has a natural – it's got a natural buildup, irrespective of the fact that, in my view – we have a somewhat circumspect Final Four. I'm gonna stay on my thought process. I think we have something of a fraud four here. I'm not compelled to root for Ryan Newman. I am not hoping Ryan Newman wins. Again, it's not because I don't like Ryan Newman and I'm targeting him, but he is the driver D. Or call him the driver Z,
sure.
Or the driver W, because he's winless. I think there was a fundamental empirical mistake made in eligibility to be running for the championship today.
All right. Now, let me go back to your earlier question before I hijack this conversation.
Again.
driver collusion. Driver collusion.
Yes, right.
Or,
what do you think?
Or team collusion. Right. I absolutely think you're going to see teams blocking, driving, potentially racing a little harder against one of the four. I don't think you're going to see some of the outlandish stuff we saw Clint Boyer last year. I don't know if you're necessarily going to see people parking funny in their pit spots trying to block somebody on pit road. But I think when you're on the track and you're racing, that you will see teammates or stablemates, if you want, racing a chaser harder than they would somebody else.
If it's to the
mm-hmm.
benefit,
you know what I mean?
If it's to the benefit mm-hmm. of their teammate, yes.
Right. Which is, I think, within the rules and the lines of
absolutely
good sportsmanship in NASCAR, if you want to call it that. So, you know, I don't, you know, can someone potentially get wrecked? Yes. But I don't think you're going to see any intentional malice or anything like that.
I think you could see some retribution from some that aren't in the chase.
Oh, absolutely. I would not be surprised.
Especially when you get down to your final 30, 25, 20 laps. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
Yeah.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Interestingly enough, Westgate, Las Vegas, sees Denny Hamlin as the best possible likelihood to finish first or highest, the best bet to actually win the event. This will blow your doors off. It blew my doors off because this guy don't run good here. How about Jimmy Johnson as a 5-1 bet to actually win this thing today?
What's his qualifying position?
As an event winner.
What's his qualifying position? I don't recall seeing him up there real high.
Yeah.
No, but I'll tell you what, his practice sessions were great. And to me, I don't go by qualifying.
I know.
Trim, you don't run in that. You run in race trim, hence the name
Jimmy,
of our show. But
he
raced, he practiced well.
Yeah.
Here's good too, Brendan.
He's starting 12.
Yeah. That ain't bad.
Yeah.
That's not a bad
Well, here's a key that's kind of important, though, is Jeff Gordon, his teammates on the pole.
Yeah,
so
right, he is.
You know, they all share information, so
that's
they're
right.
all going to be pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could see Dale Jr.
do well today.
He's 11th, so, you know.
Without a doubt. Tony Stewart has won here. I'm not writing Tony Stewart off as a sleeper to catch people. And you know what? In a funny way, considering what that man's been through, and he's run the fewest races of them all, as we know, because he had that three race, essentially personal, you know, he put himself under a personal sanction for 3 weeks. He's run the fewest races of all, and I think that man actually deserves a shot to go out there and run like hell and win the thing.
Well, you know, he actually has a streak on the line, too.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is that, season wins or something?
He's won a race in every season for the last 15 years.
Wow.
Yep.
That's an active streak.
And
if he does not win today, he loses
that
streak.
Over. All right, so, I changed my mind. I'm rooting for Tony Stewart.
I kind of would, too. I'll be honest with you. If I had my druthers, I'd like to see him win. He's on my fantasy teams.
How do you like that one for an underdog there, sidekick? Screw that Newman guy.
Well, you know I'm a Tony Stewart guy.
I know.
So, yeah, of course I'm rooting for Smoke.
And quite frankly, I'm going to be honest with you. I want to say goodbye, Newman.
Yeah, really.
And again, it's not because I've got a problem with Newman, but I think the representation of a winless driver, I want to say goodbye to that. And I really hope that somebody looks at this thing in the off season, regardless of our champion, but most especially, if in fact a Ryan Newman gets the title without winning a title. Because to me, that's the difference. You can get, we'll give you the title. I don't want my champion given anything. Flies in the face of the whole idea of NASCAR. Rubbing is racing. Unless you're rubbing it out for yourself. What is this, masturbation? Come on.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little fired up here. We got about 15 minutes, a little less. If you want to reach out to us, 347-826-9964.
I'll give Ryan Newman an Academy Award for his best impression of Shrek.
Oh. Well, now, see, here's what's funny, though. If Ryan Newman wins the championship, I think you may potentially see an amendment to the rules. But if Ryan Newman doesn't win,
all bets are off.
I would agree with you. They're not going to do anything, and I'll tell you why. Because to do anything if he doesn't win would be to admit now that they did make a mistake.
Exactly. He's going to – if Ryan Newman does not – if Harvick – wins this, right? Bill France is going to sit back with that shit-eating grin, pardon my French, and go, this worked out perfect. Isn't this new chase format awesome?
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to be like, I love it.
All the more reason to root for Newman, I'm telling you.
Well, they are going to have, as we know, they are going to have that window of, about 8 weeks, 9 weeks, you know, between the finish today and the commencement at Daytona, where they're all going to sit back behind closed doors. And, you know, we may or may not hear too much from them. But I think even if, you know, the Newman thing becomes a red herring and it doesn't apply to today, I still think they owe it to themselves from a competition standpoint, to think about this in the off season, prevent this likelihood again. I don't think it's necessarily going to hurt the popularity of the sport any more than I think the fact that Newman is in this year helps the sport. I think in either case, it's a non-factor. It's just funny math. It's funny math we didn't look at. And I think they really need to tighten it up. All we got is one little window there. Just close that up. Tighten that up. Button up. That's a shrink to me. That's a shrink. That's an area that they should not have allowed, strictly mediocre to, oh, my gosh, look at this. We're going to have a winless winner. The possibility should be eliminated if you're in a competitive environment. Otherwise, give everybody a trophy and let's call this thing what it is. Stupid. Real quick, I just wanted to hit on Nationwide. They ran their final event. This was pretty fun, gentlemen. We knew Chase Elliott piloting that number 9 Napa was going to win the thing outright last week. I mean, we knew that. It was a fait accompli. But in fact, we still had to determine who was going to win the event, who were the owner championship. As it turned out, it was a pretty fun race, that final Nationwide. Kenseth brought home a win, and let's be straight, that was his first win in any series this year. Matt Kenseth finally won a race for Joe Gibbs. It happened to be the last one, but he won it. Keselowski ran in the 22, since Logano is focusing on his chase hopes today. So Keselowski ran well enough to give Team Penske their second consecutive owner championship in a row. You know, if anybody wants to just holler out their thoughts on this kid, Chase Elliott, youngest winner ever at that series to win the whole darn thing. You know, he was Rookie of the Year on top of it. First time champion for JR Motorsports. I believe they've been in business now for about 10 years. Elliott, 13 consecutive top 10s. That's a rookie record. He had 3 wins, 16 top 5s, 26 top 10s, no DNF. What a future, huh? Is this kid the real deal or what? Are we going to see him at cup level? I'll tell you what, Hendrick's probably wondering how soon they can open up that 5 car.
I'm thrilled that a legitimate Nationwide driver, you know, it appears that, you know, he won a good number of races down there at Nationwide. Obviously, we had a lot of the Cuppies win, which I hate the Cuppies in the Nationwide series. But, you know, yeah, right, there you go. But I'm thrilled that it appears we've got a legitimate, I guess next year it's going to be, Xfinity series driver.
Right.
I'm thrilled about
right.
that. Kid's remarkable. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to see him jump to Sprint Cup right away.
Well, I don't think it'll – yeah, I think you'll be all right with that, Frat House, Mike, because as I said, you know, Hendrick is probably looking at him and salivating and rubbing their hands already, but he really – he doesn't have a seat yet at the cup level, but he performs another year like he did this year in Nationwide, next year for Infinity, and I would almost guarantee that he will find his place at the cup level. The other one that we could just mention real quick, just for fun, Friday evening, the Camping World Series established their winner for the year. It was, in fact, Matt Crafton. That's a first ever also for that series, as he went back-to-back championship in the series history. Darrell Bubba Wallace Jr., he's a frat house favorite over here. He won the event, which was great. That afforded Kyle Busch Motorsports their ownership championship as well. So that was kind of fun. I've got to say, gentlemen, I thought all series of NASCAR racing product was very, very, very good. And again, with an eye on young up-and-coming drivers, and again, you know, a toss-out to a guy like a Matt Crafton, you know, and a shout-out to, you know, a guy like an Elliott Sadler, who, of course, is going to go to the cup level next year and find a ride. But those people that have run well in those unique national series, and they've done a nice job, I think NASCAR has, at making all three of those stock car racing series very, very compelling. We've got about 7 minutes. Here's what, Sidekick, you're there. Why don't we talk about a little fantasy roster prospect for today at Miami Homestead? I know you do your Sidekick picks with us. We had to bring them without you, but we did bring them to our audience on Thursday night. Why don't you tell us in your own words, who do you like today at Homestead Miami?
Well, I can tell you there is no Newman on my roster.
All right.
We're going with Kevin Harvick, $28. Joey Logano, $27.50.
Wow.
Denny Hamlin, 24 mm-hmm. and a quarter.
Okay.
David Reagan, $10.50. And mm-hmm. my boy, my lucky dog, Landon Castle, $7.25.
Awesome.
That's the roster for the last week. As I cruise into the championship,
oh,
yet
there's
again.
No doubt about
oh,
that.
Please.
I don't. Yeah, we're going to give you. We are giving you the Frat House Sports Pissed In Cup today. Come on over. It'll be filled up, and you can claim your hardware. Brandon, do you have you want to share who you think you like? Do you have your roster available? Do you want to tell us who you like for today at the Homestead Miami?
Simply, I think it's going to be Kevin Harvick. I think he's going to win. I hope all this is going to go away. My roster does include Tony Stewart, Kevin Harvick, Dale Jr., Allmendinger, and J.J. Yaley. That's who I'm going with.
All right, good. I like it. Yeah, Allmendinger could be a surprise. I would agree with you on that. Frat House Mike, any thought, or you hadn't done it yet? You've got time.
Oh, well, I'm irrelevant, but I'm not changing my anchor. I'm sticking with Kyle. Go Jeff Gordon and Denny Hamlin up at the top.
All right, that's good. Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty solid bet in Kyle Busch. He practiced reasonably well, and he doesn't have a bad spot to run from. My Uncle Mark team has been strictly mediocre. Of course, I have run that second Road Rage team, which is doing better. But, for integrity purpose, I am running with on the Uncle Mark side. I am going with Logano. I am going with Harvick. I think both have been consistent and driven hard all year, and they can win at this type of track. My hope is Harvick doesn't have some of the bad luck he had early in the year at some of the miles and mile and a halves. I ran with the rookie all year. I'm keeping him, Kyle Larson. To fill it out, I'm taking Allgaier, Justin Allgaier, another rookie, and I'm tossing in Josh Wise because I had just a couple of bucks left. Well, any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we wrap it up? We did want to touch on some NHRA. We didn't get there. You could throw it out there if you have a thought.
I think Frat House Mike can give us a quick little rundown. He's got prepared, I believe.
Yeah, okay. This is coming down to – we're coming down to the very last one in the countdown for the championship today out of Pomona. And really, there's only two divisions that are remaining. The Sarge Tony Schumacher won it yesterday. He's got such a lead over there in Top Fuel. He won it in qualifying. How about that? What a great win for him. Congratulations to the Sarge. Mm-hmm. Over in Funny Car, though, it's coming down between Matt Hagen and John Force. John is only 21 points behind Matt Hagen. This is going to be a nail-biter, you can bet. And over in Pro Stock, it's coming down between Erica Ender Stevens and Jason Lyne. Erica's only got a 17-point lead in Pro Stock. Those two divisions are going to be fun to watch.
That should be good times. We're going to be looking at it here, folks, because we are Frat House Sports, and this is what we do. We watch everything. We watch it all because we're nuts. We're nuts, and we watch it on multiple screens. We even stream the stuff live. All right. Sidekick, you still with us? You on hold? Here's what we'll do. We're going to remind everybody out there that you have tuned in. You have found us here. If you're listening live or you're listening on archive, this is the Frat House Sports Radio Network. We do everything here. We come to you 5 days a week, and we kick off the week on Sundays with our Race Trim Motorsports Hour. We will have a wrap-up next week, so I invite all four of you, or all three of you plus me, let's all come back next week and try and do this one more time, because we're going to have to just hash out the remains of what will be the NASCAR Championship.
Absolutely.
But also, yeah, please, you know, if you can do it. I know you're under particular constraint, Sidekick, but we obviously, we enjoy having you with us, especially here on Sunday for this chat. Also, folks, Tuesday evening at 7, Brandon and Frat House Mike bring you the All Football Talk. That's our Red Zone Blitz program. It's X's and O's. It's everything that happened on the field, NFL, during that prior week. And it comes to you on Tuesday as you're having that hangover from a nice football weekend. Wednesday evening, Jim Williams joins Frat House Mike. That's an all Philadelphia Eagles program inside the War Nest, talking details about what's going on with the Birds. Thursday evenings, we all come back to you at 7 o'clock with our flagship Frat House Sports Show. We're talking all things sports, all things, everything, whatever you can think of. You want to talk about Jax? If it's compelling, we'll talk about it. And, of course, Saturday at 2 p.m., Frat House Mike reviews it all on a relaxed Frat House Saturday. Gentlemen, this has been great. I want you all to enjoy the race.
Absolutely.
We're going to go out to start our engines because we're going racing, boys.
Yep. And next week we can talk about our champion, Ryan Newman.
Absolutely. Oh, no.
and Sidekick.
All right. That's it. Catch up to you next Sunday morning. Gentlemen, thank you. We're good.